I want to talk about Jared Kushner, because frankly, it comes down that he's the one who fired you, right?
That's what Steve Bannon told me, yes.
And you believe that?
Sure.
Right. You believe that because there's history between the two of you.
Between me and his father, not between me and him.
But you can understand why he takes it personally.
Yes and no.
Would you separate your experience if your father had been put in jail from the prosecutor who put him in jail?
If my father was guilty, I would. Mr. Kushner pled guilty. He admitted the crimes. And so what am I supposed to do as a prosecutor? I mean, if a guy hires a prostitute to seduce his brother-in-law and videotapes it and then sends the videotape to his sister to attempt to intimidate her from testifying before a grand jury, do I really need any more justification than that? I mean, it's one of the most loathsome, disgusting crimes that I prosecuted when I was U.S. attorney. And I was U.S. attorney in New Jersey, Margaret, so we had some loathsome and disgusting crime going on there.
Here Tuesday night, as the week draws to a close and the arduous march gets that much closer, with another delicious shot of nightshade for you. I'm so nervous. Oh God, I got to do this for half an hour. Okay, be cool, act cool. All right, a lot to catch up on today, including stuff from across the pond over in Europe. Brexit is still on track to be a complete calamity. So 2 weeks. What does that say? One rude?
It's lower one spelled backwards.
What?
Yeah, you know, I just put them in.
What the Well, I guess we won't be needing that. All right. 2 weeks after overwhelmingly rejecting May's Brexit deal, Parliament is backing a proposal intending to send Theresa May back to Brussels, where the EU is headquartered, with a stronger mandate to seek changes that were more likely to win their support. They also, at the same time, rejected a proposal to give Parliament a path to present a chaotic no-deal Brexit by making May ask Brussels for a delay if she can't get a deal through Parliament. The Irish backstop, this is the problem. It's this insurance policy that aims to prevent the reintroduction of a hard border between Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom, Ireland, which is a country, and Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom, which was a big part of the 1988 peace deal. It's not to have this hard border between the two, which ended decades of terrorism and violence, and it's there to preserve frictionless trade. Critics have said that this could bind the United Kingdom to the EU's rules. The proposal was put forward by Graham Brady, who is a big-shot Tory. It was passed by 317 to 318 in the Parliament, House of Commons, called for the backstop to be replaced with unspecified alternative arrangements. You know, whenever they put language like that in these bills, they're like, yeah, we'll figure it out later. You know, if you could have figured it out later, you'd be able to figure it out now. It's just, there's only so many ways that you could turn these levers. He said Parliament would support her Brexit deal, Theresa May's Brexit deal, if such a change was made. But Brussels said it doesn't want to reopen a treaty signed off by the other 27 EU leaders, which is also reasonable. So speaking immediately after the vote in Parliament, spokesman for the European Council President Donald Tusk said the backstop was part of the withdrawal deal and wasn't up for negotiation, which was echoed by the Irish government. This is a deal which was negotiated with the UK by the UK, signed off by the UK and the Prime Minister, and now it looks as though this evening, essentially, there's a rowback and a reneging on the commitments that were made. This is from the Irish European Affairs Minister, Helen McEntee. She's calling Theresa May a renegger. That is a very harsh term. I would not like to be called that. Emmanuel Macron, who's the head of France, said there could be no renegotiation and then demanded a credible British proposal. P.S., France is still on fire. Side note, while Paris is burning, great movie, which you must watch. If the British Parliament can't find a majority for a way forward, the UK will leave without a deal, which is hilarious. And businesses fear this will bring chaos to the world's fifth biggest economy. I didn't realize that England was that big of an economy. Well, let me see if I could guess what they are. It would be U.S., China. What would be 3 and 4? Russia? I don't think Russia's economy is that big. Japan. Look them up. Let's see if I could get this. Okay.
Can we guess too?
Sure, Drew. I want to hear Drew's guesses. Indiana.
What was the question?
The world's five biggest economies. Peter, you look it up. Five is the UK. One is, I'm sure, the US. I'm guessing China's two. So what would 3 and 4 be?
Switzerland. Yeah?
It's got to be Germany, maybe? Are they counting the EU?
Germany's one of them.
Okay, and then Japan. Is Japan's not
Japan,
the other one?
Yeah.
Japan's the third one.
Yeah, so I got them all, right?
Yep.
In order. Okay. Or close to order. Okay.
Isn't Switzerland supposed to be like a rich country, though?
Oh, my God. Are you serious or are you not serious?
Switzerland? No, Sweden.
Switzerland's number 20.
Do you know how big Switzerland is?
I mean, it's small, but I thought things were like expensive. I don't know. Whatever.
They're behind Turkey.
Fuck. Wow. They're neutral, so that means that their value is zero. Their balance sheet is
net zero.
Net zero. Or debit zero, either way. So neither May nor her ministers spelled out what compromises she's going to seek, but suggestions include securing a time limit to the backstop or allowing a unilateral exit clause. And the EU says these both defeat the purpose of the backstop. So hardline pro-Brexit conservative lawmakers made clear their support for May on Tuesday was conditional on her securing a deal they approved of. She has like no really good allies in parliament. That's really, really rough. Steve Baker, who's a leading member of the group, said the backstop is not going to get through this parliament. Change the backstop, fix the date of the end of the implementation period, and agree to a plan C. So I'm going to keep you guys updated on this, but this is really hilarious because she's got such a weak hand and she's so uncharismatic and no one likes her and no one respects her. Speaking of someone that people do like and respect, the most popular politician in America, Bernie Sanders. 3 years. I like that. I like that. He's giving the white power symbol. 3 years. After losing his race to Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination, Bernie is going to run for president, it looks like. Two sources with direct knowledge of his plans told Yahoo News that Sanders plans to announce his presidential bid imminently. I called this one wrong. I had said Tulsi Gabbard, who had quit the DNC in 2016 or 15, whenever she quit, the 2016 cycle, because she was she did not like how they were treating Bernie, and she was a big Bernie person. I said she wouldn't have ran. I don't know. That's what editors are for. You're welcome. She wouldn't have announced for president if she didn't have inside knowledge that Bernie wasn't going to run because she wouldn't want to compete with him, and she's very young. And my logic was sound but wrong. So just like AOC says, it's important that, you know, you don't have to be factually accurate as long as you're like ethically something. I don't know. But look, you could goggle it. Anyway, he's been mulling a bid for months, and early polls show him consistently being one of the top candidates in a crowded Democratic primary field. But I'm reminded of 2003, where Joe Lieberman was the top candidate because he had been Al Gore's running mate in 2000. And name recognition counts for a lot. In these situations. On the other hand, you have to give him enormous credit because the DNC did everything in their power to destroy him. He wasn't even a member of the Democratic Party, really, and he still gave Hillary Clinton a run for her money. So that does not happen by accident. Well, the part of it's also the fact that she's the biggest calamity to ever hit the U.S. since, I don't know, polio? And just like polio, she can't, you know, get down the stairs in one piece. Anyway, the source said Sanders was heartened also to see that he's one of the leading candidates with African-American Latino voters, which are two groups that he had issues with in 2000. And again, Hillary obviously did well, with, especially with African-Americans, because of the strong historic connections with Bill Clinton, our first black president, and the African-American community. The source also said that a bunch of polls show Sanders is the most popular politician in the country. They attribute his strength to the base and name recognition he has built with the previous bid. What the source, I love the, you know, the, this source, I have no doubt, is actually someone pretty close to Bernie. Because they're just not identifying it at all. That's my hunch. But then I was wrong about Tulsi, so why am I opening my big fat mouth? Ugh, I should just have Gino host this show. What the senator has this time that he didn't have last time is he's the most popular elected official. That's light years away from 2016, when very few people knew who he was. And a third source says his bid will open with an exploratory committee, and his campaign did not respond to a request for comment. And in addition to those two sources, a former Sanders staffer who has not been briefed nevertheless said they're aware of many recent signs he's going to pull the trigger. Ha ha ha. Phrasing. Specifically, he's been building out the infrastructure you would need for a White House bid. That's the other thing with these stories. As I said, he's already talking to staff, and there are people he's hiring. They're nailing down contract with vendors. All the movement is there for him to run, said this ex-staffer. This is something that is maybe a little bit inside baseball is interesting to know. There's a term for it I first heard in 2016. I don't recall. There's like a talent race or something like that. The point is, you can see who is going to be running for president because there's only so many consultants you can hire. And you got to nail them down pretty damn early. So that's a very good way to tell if someone is just doing this to, they're just thinking about it, or they're basically running for to be in the cabinet, or running to be the running mate, or running to make raise their profile, or they're serious about actually being winning the presidency. So this is a very, and so a lot of this gossip is not really gossip, but it's facts. But it's like they're like, okay, it's all but done, but we can't really, you know, we can't blow the guy's announcements. So these are kind of like soft announcements. So there's a lot to these stories very often. The DNC also not adopted a rules change that would make it difficult for independents like Sanders to seek the nomination. But in spite of this, he was unaffected by this new rule because the Vermont Democratic Party, he's from Vermont, passed a resolution last year fully recognizing him as a member. And the source says that if he runs, he will be running as a Democrat. This is not a surprise. He's starting from a formidable position. Early polls have shown him as one of the top candidates. And Sanders' allies also believe. Okay, this is repeating itself. Well, that's just weird. What it lower second?
Yeah, same thing.
All right. That's the end of the story, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, all right. Just put on the Night Rage logo for the next story. Just put that over my shoulder. We don't need Salvini. Yeah, there you go. It matches my blazer. Okay. So, Italy, which I've covered extensively. Italy's current coalition government is from the Nationalist League and the Five Star Movement, which was kind of this anti-establishment movement that is very unorthodox, so it's hard to pin it down where it belongs. And now we've been hearing a lot of Salvini. I've been covering this. He's being very good on, you know, locking down the borders, keeping immigrants out. This was his core issue, and he's really implementing it. Now it's the time for the Five Star Movement to put their plans into place. And this is why it looked like they weren't going to be able to be a coalition, because some of their ideas are pretty out there in any country. So they got to prominence because of their founder, who is a comedian named Beppe Grillo. But one of the proposals that attracted genuine interest was something called a citizen's income, which is basically a less radical version of the universal basic income, which they tried in Finland, and it was a total calamity and failure. Five Star is now rolling out basically a universal basic income in Italy, which is not going to be cheap. The plan has little, and you know whose idea this was? If you read my forthcoming book, where we talk about how Milton Friedman was basically a Stalinist, to quote Ayn Rand, Milton Friedman had the idea for a simple, basic income for all citizens, jobless or not, But this is more like, after a deep recession and weak recovery, there's a strong case for helping Italy's left behind, is the argument. The thing is, it becomes an administrative nightmare, which makes it hard to target those who are most in need. Here's how it works. The new citizens' income is for households earning less than around 10 grand a year, or 9,300 euros. You get an income support plan and a housing allowance, which can add up to 780 euros a month for a single person with no income. This is mostly aimed at old people and people of working age. People of working age must be willing to accept a suitable job or else lose the benefit. So that's why it's not really the same as a basic income plan. Companies will get a discount on their Social Security contributions when they hire a citizen's income recipient. So this is a little, it's not as simple as it seems. And I mean, when you have the government enmeshed within the economy this much and start pulling levers, the consequences are often very, very counterintuitive. So about 1/5 of Italy's citizens, according to their statistics, are at risk of poverty. 1 in 10 lives with serious deprivation. Who knows how realistic these numbers are. This is actually worse than in 2000, when it was 18.9% and 7.5%. So it's up to 20 and up to 10. So that's a big increase. Now, previous center-left governments tried to do a similar plan, but this is much more bold in its goal. The new plan risks targeting the most people, the wrong people, this according to this editorial. The two most vulnerable groups in Italy are foreigners and families with lots of children. This is how they got the League to sign on, because the League is obviously not going to be like, yeah, let's just have a guaranteed minimum income for foreigners. Because in 1934, Upton Sinclair, who was an early muckraking journalist who wrote The Jungle, he got the Democratic nomination to be governor of California. And he was a total socialist, total radical, by his own words. And he had a plan called EPIC, and it was called End Poverty in California. And his opponent was this loser, Frank Merriam, this like nobody Republican, not a nobody, but just like had no big ideology. You know, he's just neither here nor there. And they hit Sinclair really hard because they go, look, it's the Great Depression. It's 1934, the height of the Depression, which has been going on for 5 fucking years now. If you're going to have this plan, like welfare for everybody and eliminate profit, why wouldn't the whole country move to California? What are you going to do then, Upton? So anyway, in this case, what Italy's proposing is a household with at least one foreign-born member, according to these statistics, are almost twice as likely to be at risk of poverty. And similarly, families with 5 or more kids are at far greater risk than smaller households. I am quite positive that families with large numbers of kids correlates very well with also being foreign-born in Italy. Despite the Catholicism. I'm sure there's somewhat of a correlation there. So only people who have been resident in Italy for at least 10 years can get this. So that's one way around this whole kind of open borders situation. And the support for a household of one is relatively a lot. The additional money paid out for each child is proportionally less than before. That's the same thing that we have here. Like the more kids you have, it's not like you get the same amount. You get proportionally less. A family with 5 kids gets the same amount of money as one with 3 kids. This will keep down the cost of the plan, supposedly. And administration is another big obstacle. The job centers are inefficient. The government wants to recruit thousands of new workers, but this is going to take years to get it running. And this is going to kick off in the spring, even though they haven't hired people to administer this. And finally, there's a problem with compliance. The plan is most generous for those who say they don't make any money, which includes the poorest, but also includes those who work on a cash business. Man, if this thing was done in Russia, we would run circles around this. Italy has a real problem with revenue cheats, i.e. heroes. So supposedly the state's going to need to toughen up its enforcement hugely to make sure that people don't get over. And that's going to be expensive. So then you have tens of thousands of work relationships slipping into the black economy, so workers can get a benefit while earning an undeclared income. So basically what's going to end up happening is you can get paid on the table and you get the welfare. This is a classic issue of having something like any kind of welfare system. It's like people are going to try to get paid double and you can't blame them, especially if you're poor. If you're poor, it's just like, what the I got nothing to lose. I'm broke. So you're going to have some sympathy for them anyway. So it's just interesting how, libertarians have often said that, you know, all this nationalism is really hardcore socialism. And you can the pairing here of this what would be called far right league, Salvini's party, they're just this is something that even Bernie Sanders really wouldn't be able to get over in America. It's like so far left. I mean, this is really kind of on the fringe in American thought, and they're signing up for it. It's kind of a devil's Faustian bargain, just as long as they can cut down on immigration. So it's like I'll give up this, you give up that, and you know what? It might work out for them. Only time will tell. So it's the bigger issue is, you know, what's the bigger problem with a country? Is it the welfare state? Or is it the immigrants changing the culture? These are both questions that are talked about endlessly day and night. I don't have any answers, but hopefully Italy's going to have good things happen. I wish nothing but the best for the Italian and all people anywhere, everywhere. Anyway, we got another clip today from one of the worst cops ever, Kamala Harris, running for president, and she was asked about her healthcare plan, and here's what she had to say at the CNN town hall.
Let's turn to healthcare. I want to bring in Renee Welk, who lives here in Des Moines. She and her husband are both self-employed, and they've had a lot of trouble finding affordable health insurance. Renee?
Thank you so much. What is your solution to ensure that people have access to quality healthcare at an affordable price? And does that solution involve cutting insurance companies as we know them out of the equation?
I believe the solution, and I'm actually feel very strongly about this, is that we need to have Medicare for all. That's just the bottom line.
Pause it. Pause this. It's just so. It's such like a fucking focus group term, Medicare for all. Medicare's for what? The poor people? Is Medicare for poor people or Medicaid for poor people?
Poor people, old people is
Medicaid. Yeah. So if it's for all, it's not Medicare. It's like saying we need more. You know, there's a lot of sick people in this country. We need to help them. We need chemotherapy for all. But that's not what chemotherapy is. So if you say you want socialized medicine or government-run medicine, that's fine. It's not fucking Medicare if you're giving it to billionaires. It's socialized medicine, which is fine if that is what you're for. It's not fucking Medicare. Play the rest of this.
And I'll say this, and this is, I think, why you're also asking this question. What we know
look at the pauses. Look at that chyron. What is your solution to ensure that people have access to quality health care at a affordable price? There's this old quote, if you think health care is expensive now, wait until it's free. Because the whole point is, at a certain point, when politicians are running the show and then there's pressure to cut budgets, that means people are getting fucked and they have to be rationed and have to wait around and you can't get things at any price. Go ahead.
To live in a civil society, to be true to the ideals and the spirit of who we say we are as a country.
Pause it. You know, this is such a bullshit argument. Why are you in support of school vouchers? Well, that's who we are. Why are you against school vouchers? Because that's not who we are. What the fuck does that mean? It's not an argument. It's just nonsense. It's just fucking words. And it's really, really funny because the big point that they always make is we're the only country without socialized medicine, right? Well, isn't who we are the country without socialized medicine? Isn't that who we are? Because everyone else has it. So we're different from them. Is who we are just the same as everybody? Okay. And who's we then? Is it just me, people? Go. Everything I like is a human right. Everything I don't like should be banned. Go ahead.
We have to appreciate and understand that access to health care it should not be thought of as a privilege. It should be understood to be a right.
Pause it. Do you know what's really sick about this? This bitch was a prosecutor. And you have a right. This is why I'm just realizing how evil she is. When you're poor, you have a right to an attorney if you can't afford one, if you're arrested. God help you if you get that public defender. I mean, this is a classic case of why I'm not a conservative and why I attack the conservatives on this issue all the time I get. When you have the government running the justice system and they're the ones giving you that public defender to defend you, you're telling me equality before the law. You're telling me it's even conceivable that rich people and poor people are going to have equivalent ability to have representation in front of a court? It makes no fucking sense, even theoretically. It's not happening. Now, and this is the real, real concern, is when you're really poor and the government wants to get you, you're fucked. And they're going to tell you to take the plea because why are you rolling those dice? Look, and it becomes a risk of game theory. It's like if someone comes to me and I'm completely innocent and they say, here are your choices, guaranteed a year in jail, or flip a coin and you might have 20. I'm fucking taking it. My guilt or innocence has nothing to do with it. I'm fucking scared. I'm not rolling, flipping that coin, rolling those dice. That's crazy. So what happens is, so she knows how shitty it is when the government is appointing things for you, because as a prosecutor, she has to go up against these people. So she's seen it firsthand. So now what happens when you have poor people and their doctor is being assigned to you and shit like this? And that's for everybody. So now everyone's going to be fucked. Go ahead.
It should be understood to be something that all people should be entitled to so that they can live a productive life, so they can have dignity. And having a system that makes a difference in terms of who receives what.
Wait, hold on, pause it. If you want dignity, wait until this bitch is telling you there isn't money for you in the budget for you to get what you want. And even if you want to pay for it, you can't. Tough shit. Because we live in a society. That's dignity for you. To be at the, look at that fucking face. To be at the mercy of bureaucrats and prosecutors that even if you raise the money, too fucking bad. That's what Medicare for All means. Go ahead.
Based on your income is unconscionable. It is cruel. And in many situations that I have witnessed, inhumane. I have talked about my personal experience of my mother who passed away many years ago and going through the healthcare system with her. And she had the benefit of having Medicare.
Wait for it.
But not everybody does. And it is inhumane. It is inhumane to make people go through a system where they cannot literally receive the benefit of what medical science can offer. Because some insurance company has decided it doesn't meet their bottom line in terms of their profit motivation. That is inhumane.
Hold on. Here we go. Watch this.
Just to follow up on that, and correct me if I'm wrong, to reiterate, you support the Medicare for All bill, I think initially co-sponsored by Senator Bernie Sanders. You're also a co-sponsor on it. I believe it will totally eliminate private insurance. So for people out there who like their insurance, they don't get to keep it?
Well, listen, the idea is that everyone gets access to medical care. And you don't have to go through the process of going through an insurance company, having them give you approval, going through the paperwork, all of the delay that may require.
Pause. Does anyone really fucking think if you're getting something through the government, there's not going to be delays in paperwork? How is that even conceivable? There is nothing that you do with the government that doesn't involve, especially when it's things that are expensive. Because people who are running the bureaucracy have to cover their own ass because then they're going to be accused of having slush funds. Go ahead.
Has not had that situation where you got to wait for approval and the doctor says, well, I don't know if your insurance company is going to cover this. Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
Pause. Okay. So she is saying, basically, because my mom, who actually had Medicare and it worked for her, but because there's rich people who have it better, no one can have it better. This, what does that say?
I'll tell you later.
Inversion?
Iverson.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, so this is a very scary situation, but we're going to end on a funny, happy note. And that note is as follows. Oh, no, we're not. We're not. We're going to save that story for tomorrow. This sweet, sweet story. So I just want to give you guys a heads up again. Friday, 7 o'clock here. Me, Bill Schultz, Joanna Soczynski, the guys from A Fair One, who are great guys, Anthony Cumia, and Eastside Dave. We got the 40 liquors. We're going to get smashed. You can super chat with us. You can give Joanne tips because she's going to be the bartender and she deserves them. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm very scared. I'm not going to lie because last time was 32 and I don't know if I'm going to be able to make 40. And I'm really sad that Gino's not going to be here because he would have been insufferable. And it would have been a lot of fun watching him get under my skin and me desperately trying to get him to stop interrupting me. But he's going to be in Philly with Aaron. I love Philly. So that is going to be here 7 o'clock on February 1st. And we will have a very stinky story tomorrow that we ran a little short on today. But until then, sweet dreams.
Big girl. I hope they don't have diabetes. You look familiar. You must have a television.